we'll hear the continuation of the chapter. Tomorrow night we'll finish the chapter. The next Monday we'll begin chapter 24, which is entitled. Yeah, we'll begin the pass on Golden Hill, which we'll finish. We'll do that next Monday night, next Tuesday, which the 11th. It's going to be too distracting. It's not going to work. The big one can stay, but the little one has to. Yeah, the two can better. I have to concentrate a lot, so. One of you can stay. So. Next week, which will be the 11th, we'll have the overview. So your essays are due next week on the 11th. So your open book exams are due, and then the closed book exam will be on the 18th. Okay, so 18th closed book exam, oral presentations, everything should be finished by the 11th, and we'll do the overview on the 11th also.
Okay. So tonight we'll go through verses 20 to 37. Text number 20 and 21.
Everyone get settled, no talking.
Although their husbands, brothers, sons, and other relatives tried to forbid them from going, their hope of seeing Krishna cultivated by extensive hearing of his transcendental qualities won out. Along the river Jamuna, within a garden decorated with buds of Ashoka trees, they caught sight of him strolling along in the company of the cowherd boys and his elder brother, Balaram.
So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out in the commentary, he says that the wives of the Jagi Brahmanas, they became attached to Krishna simply by hearing. So there was no direct interaction or no direct association with Krishna. They'd never even seen him. This will be discussed again and again in the 10th canto. There's a famous example of Rukmini later on. Rukmini never saw Krishna. But she heard about Krishna, and just by hearing about Krishna, she developed attachment to him. Rag means attachment. So in the same way, the Jagi Brahmanas' wives, they used to buy flowers, they used to buy betel, they used to buy different ingredients. The native women in Vrindavan, we've heard about these native women. What were they called? The Pulinda women. Like native women in Vrindavan. So they'd seen Krishna. So then they used to come. Different people who lived in the Vrindavan area, they used to come. And they used to sell flowers and different things. Just like when you go to Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan. As you're going into the temple, then they're selling garlands. You can buy garlands to take to the deities and like that. So the same thing was happening back then. So the wives of the Jagi Brahmins, they never saw Krishna, but they met these salespeople, these devotees, who were attached to Krishna because they'd seen him, they witnessed his pastimes, and they used to tell the wives of the Jagi Brahmins, Krishna lives there, and they used to describe him, and they became completely attached to him just by hearing. So that is the system, actually, because we won't see Krishna in this lifetime. We won't directly see him. We don't have adhikar to see Krishna. But by hearing about him, we can become attached. And when you become attached by hearing, then your mind always dwells on Krishna. So the wives of the Jagi Brahmins, they could not see him, but their minds were just always thinking about him. And they were just always speaking about Krishna to each other, describing. So they just tell the pastimes of Krishna from what they had heard. So there was no direct contact. So that is the process of Krishna consciousness. The process is, you don't directly see him, but just by hearing Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaran, then you will experience Krishna's association. So they, in their particular mood, they became absorbed in Krishna with conjugal attraction. So they felt like they wanted to become lovers of Krishna. They gave up all attachment to their husbands, to the brahmanas. They were not so qualified anyway, so they lost attachment. And then it says that the husbands became a little bit detached from them because they weren't doing anything anymore. They weren't doing all their services and everything properly. They were just talking about Krishna. Sometimes they'd just stand there daydreaming, just thinking about Krishna. So they weren't very productive. So the husbands said, no, just let them do what they want to do. So the husbands weren't that interested in them. They weren't interested in their husbands. And all day they were thinking about Krishna. Now they have an opportunity to meet him. Because now the cowherd boys have come and said, feed Krishna. So now they're going to Krishna in the forest. They're carrying golden pots. And they take golden pots full of bhoga to offer to Krishna. So they're all carrying these pots through the forest looking for Krishna. So they're just about to meet him. Any points? Hands up if you want to meet Krishna. Some of you, that's good. Good. Now, this one is like a... This verse is like Bhakti Rasayana. Now, what is Rasayana? Medicine. Rasayana means it's an elixir or it's an Ayurvedic medicine which gives you life. It gives you energy, particular Ayurvedic medicines. So this particular verse is for Bhakti Rasayana. This will give life to your bhakti. It will invigorate you. Because what will you hear about? You'll hear about Krishna's form. You can meditate on this tomorrow when you're chanting japa. Does that sound advanced?
Yep.
Well, maybe it's advanced, it doesn't matter. You should do it. Just do it. You can't be neophytes for a whole life. How old are you now? Hands up if you're in your 30s. Hands up if you're in your 40s. Hands up if you're in your 50s. You're in your 50s? So most of us 30s, 40s, like that. Some are 70s, like that, older. But what are you going to do? What's going to happen when you're 50, when you're 60, when you're 70? Are you going to start meditating on Krishna while you're chanting your japa? Are you still going to just let your mind float around? So tomorrow morning when you get up, then chant your japa, meditate on this verse. This is Bhakti Rasayana. Nama Rupa Guna Lila. From your Naam, from chanting the name, should come Rupa. You meditate on the form, then guna and lila. Otherwise, you spend your whole life. You don't make any advancement. Just chanting, but not really.
And dharma. And dharma.
Yeah, dharma. Dharma is where it all takes place.
So, that question of.
Yeah.
The nama rupa guna lila, which we are talking about. Are to be heard from a bona fide source. Is what this verse is. That is the actual essence of the verse. Because hearing is the base of any bhakti and to boost the bhakti.
Yeah, you have to hear from a bona fide source. Why hear from a non bona fide source? Yeah.
But hearing is what I'm trying to say. Hearing is the principle.
Hearing is very good for you. Please do it.
Is it a key? Is it a key in the universe?
No, it's not. But you can memorize it if you like. see if you can memorize it by the end of the week. His complexion was dark blue and his garments were golden. Wearing a peacock feather, colored minerals, sprigs of flower buds, and a garland of forest flowers and leaves, he was dressed just like a dramatic dancer. He rested one hand upon the shoulder of a friend and with the other hand twirled a lotus. Lilies graced his ears, his hair hung down over his cheeks, and his lotus-like face was smiling. Shri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan ki. So he's a little dramatic. That's his nature, he's dramatic. He dances like someone who's in a drama. Like if you go to India, Sometimes you see people walking around on the streets, they dress up like they're in a drama. You go to Jagannath Puri, you see them walking around on the streets. So they dress up, they're wearing bells and they're wearing different things. So it's like something very dramatic. So Krishna just dresses like this every day. Very dramatic. It describes that he was twirling the lotus in his right hand. What does this represent? Krishna Chakravartaka says. He does this all the time, actually. When if you see him, quite often he has the right hand, he has a stick. Sorry, left hand, he has a stick for the cows. Keep the cows like this. And he wears a rope for tying the legs of the cows when he does the milking over his shoulder. So he's got the on there. And he also, they put it, him and Balaram put them in their turbans. They also wrap the rope in their turbans. And he carries the stick. And then he puts the buffalo horn in his belt. And he puts his flute in his belt. And then he's twirling the lotus. So he's walking along and he has his left hand resting on the shoulder of his friend. And he's twirling the lotus. And why is he twirling the lotus? Because the lotus represents the heart. Like the heart chakra, sometimes explained like in the shape of a lotus. So he's twirling the lotus. So he's saying to the wives of the Jaggi Brahmins, he said, I have your heart. Look. And I'll do whatever I want with it. Look. And then he's also saying to them, you have my heart. And this is what you're doing to it. You make it spin. So he's attached to his devotees, and his devotees are attached to him. So that's why he's carrying the lotus in his hands. He's always, quite often he's carrying a lotus. It says when he lifts Govardhan Hill, what is the next chapter? Next chapter, right? Govardhan Hill. Chapter 24, 25. 24 will finish next week and the week after. And then 25 will finish next year. So he holds the Giriraj. He holds for 7 days, seven nights. You know in Vrindavan, you see sometimes the Brahmins have those long fingernails on the little finger. I don't know why they do that, but Bhakti Vichapurna Maharaj has got like this long fingernail on the little finger, some reason. So Krishna was holding Giriraj up on the tip of that little fingernail, like that. And it said in between his thumb and forefinger, he had a lotus. He was twirling it. The whole time. So he's saying all these devotees were there, they're watching him the whole time for 24 hours. He's twirling, saying, I have all of your hearts. And you also have my heart. He twirls the lotus way. He does this all the time. So in this verse, this is Krishna's mood. Any other points?
So the lotus girl,
yes. Any other points? Okay. O ruler of men, for a long time those Brahmana ladies had heard about Krishna, their beloved, and his glories had become the constant ornaments of their ears. Indeed, their minds were always absorbed in him. Through the apertures of their eyes, they now forced him to enter within their hearts. And then they embraced him within for a long time. In this way, they finally gave up their pain of separation from him, just as sages give up the anxiety of false ego by embracing their innermost consciousness. So they had not physically met him, they'd only heard about him, but through that hearing process, they united with Krishna within their hearts. So they were actually having spurti. Spurti means shakshat darshan. They were seeing Krishna. They witnessed Krishna. When you see Krishna within yourself, it is non-different from seeing Krishna outside. It is the same. When your prema is fully developed, you see Krishna, it is non-different. You actually experience Krishna. You witness him. So they're united with him. They're actually already associating with him within the heart. But when they heard that he was nearby, they ran to be with him. Because they wanted to directly associate with him. But when you become Krishna conscious, you associate with him within your consciousness, within your heart. Just like Prabhupada. Prabhupada saw Krishna within his heart. And we told many times, at the end of his pastimes, then the devotees said, Prabhupada, please stay with us. And then Prabhupada said, I will ask Krishna. And he closed his eyes. And then he came back after 3 or 4 minutes. And he said, Krishna has left it up to me if I want to stay or I want to go. So Prabhupada saw Krishna within his heart. Because like we see each other, Prabhupada, he saw Krishna like that. So it is not different. Whether he's outside or inside, the devotees can associate with him directly. Lord Krishna, who witnesses the thoughts of all creatures, understood those ladies, had abandoned all worldly hopes and come there simply to see him. Thus he addressed them as follows with a smile upon his face. So if you want to see Krishna, what do you have to do?
Here.
Here? Very good. What else? Abandon everything. Are you ready to do that? Hands up if you're ready to do that. Okay, 3 of you say you are. I have my doubts. But abandon everything for Krishna. Sarvadaman Parijaya. Mamekam Sharanam Parijaya. It means everything you have to give up. Every attachment. Are you willing to give up every attachment? Easy to say. Not easy to do. But if you want Krishna, you have to give up everything to get to him. The Jaggi Brahmins, they gave up everything. Because in this culture, you have to understand the circumstance. If we leave, that's difficult. Like imagine you leave your family now. Hands up if you can do it. Just leave. And not see them again. Like literally just walk out and just go. They're very, very, very difficult to do. But they were doing that. And in the context of their culture, it's even more difficult. Because there's no coming back. If you do that in that culture, you don't come back. They don't accept you. Especially a woman. If a woman leaves and she goes out into the forest somewhere, and Krishna's already got the reputation. Right? There's a reputation attached. So they weren't allowed to come back. It was a big thing. It's not a small thing. I mean, it's difficult enough for us to do it, but you know, for them it meant no coming back whatsoever. These days in Kali Yuga you can practically do anything and then everyone will still accept you. You don't get rejected. But back in those days, that was it. You were shut out of the village. So they were willing to do that. They went out into the forest and they knew they could not come back to see Krishna, but they were willing to do that for Krishna. So this is the essence of the Bhagavatam. The essence of the Bhagavatam is you have to give up everything. Jnana yashu vairagyam jnanam cheyat ahoitukam. That detachment, knowledge, they come automatically. When you're attached to Krishna, you'll give up anything. Now what was Krishna doing? He was smiling. Because when they finally saw him, what happened to them? They became stunned. They were walking up to him when they actually saw him for the first time. They were just stunned. The tears were just rolling out of their eyes and they were just stunned. And what did Krishna do? He started laughing. He said, just look what I do to them. I capture them. I stun them. And Krishna getting great ecstasy from seeing their ecstasy. Krishna becomes completely ecstatic. So he began to laugh and to see them. They've lost complete control because of me. Krishna's intoxicated with himself. Because he's Krishna. So he's fully intoxicated with himself. So he was getting such great pleasure in seeing their ecstasy. Lord Krishna said, "Welcome, O most fortunate ladies. Please sit down and make yourselves comfortable. What can I do for you? That you have come here to see me is most appropriate." Okay, Yogi.
Just as Sri Krishna welcomed the gopis who came to dance with him at night, simply welcomed the Brahmanas' wives, his pure love for him was proved by their overcoming many hindrances to see the Lord. The word Upapana indicates that although these ladies had rejected their husband's orders, their behavior is not at all inappropriate since their husbands had obviously tried to obstruct the loving service to Lord Krishna.
So what are the points there? Na parayeham. Krishna says later, when he deals with the gopis next year, if Krishna allows us, then we'll study his pastimes with the gopis. Pancha Rasaja, that means the five chapters, 29 to 33, where Krishna directly, it's all about the Rasalila. And Krishna says to the gopis, "I can't repay you." He said, What can I give you? Huh? You've given me everything, so what can I give you? I've got nothing to give. How can I reciprocate with everything? Everything you give me, what can I give? All I can give you is my service. Please be happy with that. So he's saying the same thing to these wives of the Brahmanas. What can I do? I can't reciprocate with all of you. You're giving up everything, and you will do anything for me. Please just be satisfied with that. So Krishna feels that he cannot reciprocate with his devotees. That's why bhakti, it says in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nectar of devotion, the quality of bhakti on the level of prema is Sri Krishna Kashini, which means it controls Krishna. Because Krishna cannot reciprocate. That's how he feels. What can I do? What can I give? Of course he can reciprocate because he's Krishna. So he's giving himself, and when you get Krishna, there's nothing more ecstatic, nothing more blissful. So Krishna, that's all he can give. But he feels, "I cannot reciprocate with the love of my devotees." So he says to the wives of the Jagat Brahman, he said, "What can I give you? Come here, please sit down. What can I do for you? I can't reciprocate with you." That's how he feels. Any points? Certainly expert personalities who can see their own true interest render unmotivated and uninterrupted devotional service directly unto me, for I am most dear to the soul. Janish.
The Supreme Lord informed the Brahmanas that not only they, but all people who recognize their true self-interest take to the spiritual process of loving service to the Lord. The Lord Krishna is Atma Priya, the real object of love for everyone. Although each individual has his own taste and freedom, ultimately every living being is a spiritual spark of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, everyone's primary loving attraction is constitutionally meant for Lord Shri Krishna. Loving service to the Lord should be ahituki, without personal motive, abhyavahida, unobstructed by mental speculation, selfish desire, or any quirk of time and circumstances.
Any points there? Hoituki apratihata. You know that verse? 126. The whole Bhagavatam is based on those verses. Savai pumsam parotamo Yato bhakti and hoksaji, hoituki apudita. So the same thing now. Krishna himself is saying that. Right? Devotional service must be these two things. It must be uninterrupted and unmotivated. If you have motivations, it's not pure bhakti, it's not kevala bhakti. If you have interruptions, it's not pure bhakti, it's not shuddha bhakti. It's not pure devotional service. Right? So, Krishna now, he's explaining to the Jati Brahmana wives what is pure devotional service, which they have attained. So he's teaching us what is pure devotional service. The whole Bhagavatam is for this one point. The whole Bhagavatam is to teach us what is pure devotional service. Because they are showing us, the Jati Brahmanas are showing us. So, we are created only for one purpose. Why do we exist? To render pure devotional service to Krishna. We weren't created for anything else. We weren't created to have a job. We weren't created to buy a car. We weren't created to own a house. We weren't created to have kids. Right? We weren't created to wear nice clothes and put on makeup. Right? But that's what we think we were created for. Right? We all think that we were created for something which we are not. That was called Maya, that which is not. So at the moment, if you look at our lives, what do we spend our lives doing? Something which is not, we weren't created for. We're not even meant to be in this material world. We're meant to be in the spiritual world with Krishna, but now we're in this material world. We're doing all these activities all day long. We weren't even created to do that. Our only purpose of existence is to serve Krishna, unmotivated and uninterrupted. So now you have to work out how to do that now that you're in the material world. And that's not so easy. But we have to do it now. We have to do it. Render pure devotional service to Krishna. So, now Krishna's Leela Shakti is taking over. Krishna's different Shaktis. Hey, Brinda. Brinda, go and sit down somewhere. Don't walk around the classroom. I can't concentrate. Sit down. Just work out where you want to be in this world and stay there. Okay, please. So, Krishna's various Shaktis, he gives them control. It describes, and this will be described in the Rasa Leela particularly, that when Krishna is in the middle of his pastimes, he allows Yogamaya to take over, to take control. So just say, you know, we get the example in this world, just say you're a rich man, you're Bill Gates or someone, you know, you're rich, right? So you give all your money, or you give $2 million or something to one of your friends, say, okay, just organize a party for me tonight. Right? Just invite all my friends, you organize everything. Here's the money, just do it. Okay, I give you the shakti, the potency to do it. It's coming from me, but I give it to you. You do it. I don't have to think. I'll just come to the party. You organize everything, make it the best. Okay? So that's what happens. So Krishna, his shaktis, Yogamaya, his pastime potency, he gives them the energy. I'm just going to turn up. I'm just going to come for the Rasa Leela tonight. You take over. It's in your hands. I'm just going to be there. And actually, when we read the Rasa Leela, if we read it next year, Krishna actually thinks that while the whole thing's going on. He stops for a minute and he thinks, like, he can't even conceive. He thinks this is amazing. It's God himself. When he sees what Yogamaya does, he thinks this is amazing. And Krishna, it says that Krishna just feels like he's a little dancer or actor in the whole drama. He just feels like, wow, it's all going on. Krishna is, he just absorbs himself. So at this point, Leela Shakti takes over, because Krishna's feeling, he wants to reciprocate with them. And what do they want to do? They want to be his lovers. They're in that mood, like the gopis. But they can't be, because they're not in the body of a gopi. They're Brahmana girls. And Krishna only associates intimately with the gopis, the Vaishya girls. So he wants to reciprocate with them, but then Leela Shakti comes in, and she says, no, this can't take place. So she comes in, And then within him, she brings up Aishwarya Shakti. So then suddenly, he gets the feeling that, oh, wait a minute, I'm God. So he starts speaking to them like he is God. So now he's preaching to them. Right in the middle of very intimate feelings, and he starts getting all philosophical. So you know, the whole mood becomes changed. And then he says to them, why don't you go back to your husbands? And he explains to them why they should do that. Because if they want to associate with him the way they want to associate with him, they have to leave their body and take birth as gopis. Right? And actually one of them does. We'll read in the next few verses. One of them actually leaves their body right in the middle of the whole thing. It's too much for her. She just gives up the body and she goes and takes birth as a gopi. So you can only be with Krishna if you enter the right form. That's why Lakshmi cannot be with Krishna. Lakshmi Devi is not qualified. Shiva can't be with Krishna. Who else? Uddhava. Right? All of them want to be with Krishna, but they can't because they don't have the correct form. You have to have the right abhiman. Abhiman means the right mood, mental conception. Okay. Any points?
Question. The Brahmani who left her body and took up birth of a gopi, is she also an eternal associate of the Krishna from the spiritual world, or she a sadhana?
It's sadhana siddha. Because Nitya siddha already has that form.
Yes. Yes. I was just wondering they have just by the process of hearing, they have purified themselves and attained the form.
After many lifetimes. In the previous life, they only went to the Bhakti Vedanta course. What do you think all this is leading to? Yeah, this whole thing is just so you can take birth as a Jaggi Brahmana. Jaggi Brahmana's wife. And then when you realize that's not what you should be, then you take birth as a gopi. This is what all this is leading to. There's all this study. We take birth as gopis. Because it says at the end of this life, if we become advanced, which we should, at the end of this life, then we take birth in the universe where Krishna is performing the pastimes, and then we get trained up by the gopis or whichever rasa.
Yeah, but
Lord Krishna says... First you have to pass your exam. And hand in the essay next week. Yeah. By the 11th.
See, Lord Krishna said...
Otherwise you won't become a gopi.
Lord Krishna said in Bhagavad-gita, they came with so much expectation.
Yeah.
So, why didn't you reciprocate?
Because the body was wrong.
But that's what my body said in the Vedanta.
And then you have to meditate on it. Mm-hmm. Any other point?
So, these waves of karma, they're really literally Asians.
No, youngish.
What kind of the bellow they had for Krishna at this point of time, because he said, you are still in our separation from me. Or in the, what mode, Rapsalya or...
Conjugal.
Conjugal. Still they can't achieve it.
No, form's wrong. Krishna was going to reciprocate, but Lila Shakti stopped the whole thing. Said, no. It's not going to take place. It's like sometimes the gopis, they're going to marry Krishna. Sometimes there's pastime starts evolving in Vrindavan that Radha and Krishna will marry, and Lila Shakti comes in and says, no. This is not going to happen. And Yogamaya comes in, Purnamasi turns up, who is Yogamaya, Maya personified. She says, no, everything is inauspicious. All the start, very, no weddings. Next 12 months, nothing. And the whole thing just goes, disappears. So if it looks like it's going to head that way, then... So Krishna was looking like he was heading that way. And Lila Shakti came in and said, no.
I aware that that is the difference between the Brahmanas wives and the gopis, and why gopis are considered the most exalted? Because during the before the Rasleela, Krishna told the gopis also to go back, but they did not do that. And that is why they are the highest in Madhurya Bhava, whereas the Yavni Brahmin side actually went back. The only one who didn't go back actually got an opportunity to become a gopi.
Yeah, because Krishna says to them in the next few verses, he said, go and meditate on me. So because they're Brahmanis, Brahmanis are good at that. Well, they can meditate on Krishna. But gopis don't meditate. Gopis are very passionate and what that. And they said, don't tell us to do that. So we're not like that. We're not going to go and just start meditating on you like your lower level devotees. Right? We're going to stay with you now and associate with you. Don't tell us about meditation, all these things. But the Brahmanis, they were like that. They had the adhikar. So when Krishna said that, they said, okay, we can do that. So they went back and they meditated on him. Different adhikar. Okay. Which verse is that? It is only by contact with the self that one's vital breath, intelligence, mind, friends, body, wife, children, wealth, and so on are dear. Therefore, what object can possibly be more dear to one's, more dear than one's own self? So, Jagan.
The word yet samparkhat, in this verse refers to contact with the individual self, and ultimately with the Supreme Self, the Lord, who is the origin of the individual living being. By developing Krishna consciousness, one automatically becomes self-realized, and thus one's vital strength, intelligence, mind, relatives, body, family, and wealth all becomes enhanced and brilliant by the central influence of Krishna consciousness. This happens because Krishna consciousness is the optimum efficient conjugation of the individual self, who is pure consciousness, which is Supreme Self. With the Supreme Self and Supreme Consciousness, Krishna.
So what are the points there?
Krishna consciousness is the complete package to achieve perfection. Krishna consciousness is a complete package to achieve perfection. He was mentioned that everything comes from intelligence, religious.
Anything else? So the only person who can satisfy us is Krishna. So Krishna is saying this. It is only Him who can satisfy us. We look for satisfaction everywhere else but Krishna. You think your job will make you happy? Hands up if your job is making you happy. Hands up if your wife is making you happy. Hands up if your husband is making you happy. Hands up if your children are making you happy.
Sorry.
House. Yeah, house, car, everything. So, you know, but the point is, we're looking for happiness everywhere except where happiness actually is. It's not in anything else but Krishna. It's only when all those things lead you to Krishna that they can give you something. But it's only Krishna Himself who can give you complete satisfaction. Nothing else can completely satisfy the soul. And even if you find it all very satisfying, it'll all be taken away from you anyway. So you think, oh, it's all satisfying you, then suddenly you become disconnected from everything and you have to start all over again. And we've done that millions of times. We keep thinking, oh, this is the right thing, it's making me happy, and then again, like that. But none of it makes us completely happy. Only Krishna can make us happy. So he's saying that. Give up everything and just surrender unto me.
See, the problem is we, in place of satisfying the senses of Krishna, we are trying to satisfy our own senses. And that's why we are here.
You should thus return to the sacrificial arena because your husbands, the learned brahmanas, are householders and need your assistance to finish their respective sacrifices. So it's interesting because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, it's called Parishishta Lila. Krishna came first time, but then he thought, I need to experience more. So then second time he came as Mahaprabhu. So same person, but just different mood, but same person. So when he came the second time, he said to Raghunath Das Goswami, to stay where you are. Because Raghunath Das wanted to leave everything and go and live with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, just stay where you are. And Krishna will deliver you, but just stay where you are. And he said, be the paramour. He said, externally you do everything, like you're responsible, but internally you always think of your lover, or you always think of Krishna. So this is what Krishna is saying to the Jagik Brahmanis. Same instruction. Go back, just do everything in the world, do the Jagis and do the whole thing. But in the heart, just think of me. So that's the practical instruction that all of us have. In our hearts, we have to think of Krishna. But in this world, you all have responsibilities. You're a mother, you're a wife, you're a father, you're a husband, you're a son, whatever you are. You have a job. Do all those things. But in your heart, just think of Krishna. Because none of it makes sense anyway. None of it gives satisfaction anymore. Just like I was telling my wife the other day, there's this devotee, his name was Prabhupada disciple, left his body and mind for years, Nirguna Prabhu. And he's a book distributor from America, very nice devotee. So he's married to another Prabhupada disciple, 20 years, 30 years. And then one day, she said to him, I'm leaving you. And she left him and divorced him. And he said, I felt like, he was married to her 20 years or 30 years, had kids, everything. One day she said, I'm out of here, so I don't have any feeling, I'm just left. And he said that he felt like he didn't even know that person. Felt like, you know, they were close, but there was actually no closeness there. So in the material world, it's like that. We feel like, oh, it's all real and it's all like that, but actually it's all just it's just like an act that we're all playing. We're acting like this and we're acting like that, and I'm the husband and you're the wife and you're the kids and like that. We do this whole thing. It's just like a big drama. At the end, it really doesn't mean anything anyway. We all die and then you forget the whole thing and then you just start the whole thing again. It didn't really mean anything. We're so attached to our family this time that all that family just disappears. And next time you just get a whole new set. And then you're attached to that set. Right? And then someone shows you the picture of the old set. You'll just think, no recollection or no attachment. You don't feel like right now, I was born in 1969 in this body. So if you show me my body from 1967 or something, you know, whatever I was in my previous life, and you show me my family and everything, I'll just look at them. Don't remember them, no attachment. But this family I have now, I think, oh, they're so important, I'm so attached to them. Right? And then my next family, you know, I think they're the important ones. So it's just an act, it's just this dream thing that we keep going through. So what is the real thing? The real thing is Krishna. Because when you're attached to Krishna, that is eternal. Full of eternality, knowledge, and bliss. So it's up to you who you want to be attached to. If you want to stay attached to this world, keep going. But if you become attached to Krishna, you'll get a different result. You go and live where Krishna lives. Where does Krishna live? Well, what's his address? Nandagaon. Krishna lives, he has a village. He lives on top of that hill. And he has a palace on top of the hill. And the palace is very beautiful. I was reading about the palace. And the palace is very beautiful. It has courtyards you walk through. Beautiful courtyards. There's parrots flying in and out of the palace everywhere. And bees buzzing. And there's fountains inside the palace. It's the most beautiful, beautiful place. Gardens. Like beautiful gardens. Most amazing, amazing. So you can go and live there, or you can stay here, in Middle Park, in Hoppers Crossing, wherever you're attached to. The wives of the Brahmanas replied, O Almighty One, please do not speak such cruel words. Rather, you should fulfill your promise that you always reciprocate with your devotees in kind. Now that we have attained your lotus feet, we simply wish to remain here in the forest
So we may carry upon our heads the garlands of tulsi leaves. You may neglectfully kick away with your lotus feet. We are ready to give up all material relationships. So the essence of the purport is, we can read the purport because the purport is very nice. Oh, that's a shooter.
Here the Brahmana's wife are saying something similar to what the gopis say at the beginning of the rasa dance. When Lord Krishna tells them to go home as well. Like this was the gopi statement begins with the words Maitram, Vibhu, Arati, Avan, Uditam, Nar, Samsam. Nigama refers to the Vedic literature, which states that one who surrenders at the lotus feet of the Lord does not return to this material world. Thus the Brahmana's wife appealed to the Lord that since they had surrendered to him, it was unfair for him to order them to return to their materialistic husbands. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Krishna might have pointed out to the Brahmana's wife, you young ladies are members of the aristocratic Brahmana community, so how can you surrender at the feet of a male carbon boy? To this the ladies might have replied, since we have already surrendered at your lotus feet, and since we desire to become your servants, we are obviously not maintained a false identification as members of the so-called Brahmana community. You can easily ascertain this from our words. Lord Krishna might have replied, I am a coward boy, and my proper maid servants and girlfriends are the coward girls, the gopis. The wives might have answered, true, let them be so, let them be so. Let them shine forth if you are embraced in front of your relatives to make Brahmana ladies your maid servants. You certainly don't want to embarrass you. We certainly don't want to embarrass you. We will not go to your village, but will rather remain in Vrindavan, like presiding deities of the forest. We simply desire to perfect our lives by even the slight trace of connection with you. Thus, by the spiritual insight of Sri Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, we learn that the Brahmana's wife offers to remain at a distance and simply take the tulsi leaves that would fall from the lotus feet of Krishna or be crushed by the feet of his girlfriends when he would embrace them. The ladies offer to carry these tulsi leaves upon their heads, thus renouncing the desire to become Krishna's inmate girlfriends or maid servants, a position they knew was difficult to achieve. The young Brahmana ladies beg to remain in Vrindavan forest. If the Lord had them asked, then what will your family members say? Then they would have replied, we have already transcended our so-called relatives because we are seeing you, the Supreme Lord, face to face.
Any points there? So if you want to enter into this Vrindavan Leela, which is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is encouraging us to do and showing us by his example that that's what he was absorbed in and that's what we should do. If you want to go into Vrindavan, then you have to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, not the Jagik Brahmanas, wives. There's a very particular mood which the gopis have, and the mood is, you have to sit up. Just because it's Bhagavatam. You have to sit up. So the mood of the gopis, they have a very particular mood in the way they worship Krishna. And we have to learn that mood. If you want to worship Krishna in Vrindavan, the Brij Vasis have a particular way that they worship him. So the essence of this section of the Bhagavatam is that if you want to become a Brij Vasi, then you have to follow Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti means Anuga, means to follow with Rag. Rag means spontaneous attachment. So it's a very particular mood. They don't see Krishna as God, they see him as a cowherd boy. And they worship him in a very particular way. So that's what, if we study this part of the Bhagavatam, we should be understanding this mood. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to do. Because the Jagi Brahmana's wives, there's still some mixture there, they had some mood of being in the form of the Brahmana's wives, and Krishna cannot reciprocate like that.
So you have to become a gopi and you have to have very spontaneous and I think Krishna will reciprocate gopis. Any points?
When we look at the person, we are so far away from that from which the indigrams lies around right now.
So then?
So it's hard to then think that this is not the move we should have, because we have not even reached that. We have to have a superior move for what they have.
So sooner or later we have to get serious about the whole thing. Karthik starts in 2 weeks. Right? So time to get serious. I'm already thinking. I think all year. All I think about all year is Karthik. Because Karthik is my time, I just get serious. The rest of the year I make compromises. You know, I have to preach and do this and do that. But Karthik, I said, listen, I'm just forget everything. I'm just going to do sadhana. I'm going to go to Mayapur, go to Puri, go to Vrindavan. I'm just going to do sadhana. I'm just going to try to get to Krishna. So sooner or later we have to get serious. That feeling has to come. I have to get to Krishna. I have to get to Krishna. When you have that feeling, that mood, then all this begins to open up. But at the moment, maybe we're just not serious enough yet. We're still very much based on awe and reverence, rules and regulations. Oh, I have to chant my rounds. That's a different thing. But when you get a taste for chanting, the chanting of rounds is a different experience. It's not a mechanical thing. It's not, oh, I just have to do it. No, you relish doing it. And in Karthik, you know, we get up early and we do it at the best time. A lot of the time we're chanting our rounds late in the night. You know, we're chanting them on the tram, we're doing all this stuff. But in Karthik, I just say to myself, I'm just going to chant properly, just for 1 month. The rest of the time I'm doing this and I'm doing that, but... So get serious. And then if you're really serious, the day after Karthik is the Katyayani Nivrat. So if you're really serious, then you get into that mood. Shiva Ramaswamy did that a few years ago. I don't know, maybe he does all the time. So, because in his heart he wants to become a follower of the gopis. So he took a Katyayani Vrata, the month after Karthik. He was doing what the gopis doing, only eating the, what do they call that? What's it called?
Avishan.
Avishan, yeah. So he's just eating that, the Kichri.
No salt.
Yeah, the rice and the dal. Like Kichri, but no spice like that. He was doing that for 1 month, and he was taking cold bath. And up there in Hungary, where he was doing it, that's cold up there. Down here, it's easy. You know, but up there, it was cold. So he was doing Katyayani Vrata.
Good question, though. Like, with
all
the Brahmanis, they bring so much interaction with Krishna. Is there any pastime, more than the pastime, or the tradition?
I don't know. I didn't read anything.
The mood of the Brahmanis are also getting revealed here through Vishnu Chakriya Thakur's commentary, that they are ready to be the servant of the gopis who are coming there. So that also shows that they are not up to the level of the conjugal platform to experience that rasa basically. But nevertheless, they are
No, the desire is there. They have conjugal mood, and Krishna was ready. Krishna was going to fulfill their desires. But then, Lila Shakti said, no, this is not appropriate. They're not in the right forms. Let them take birth as gopis. So that's what they did. They went back, gave up their bodies, took birth as gopis. Okay.
One question. Sorry if I go back on
that,
but why was said that the Brahmin's husband were trying to abstract the spiritual or the association with Krishna?
Why?
One of the said,
yeah. Yeah, because they didn't understand at that point who Krishna was.
The Brahmins.
Yeah. They didn't understand he was God. So because of that they tried to abstract. Just like our family. Our family says don't become a Hare Krishna. Because they don't know who Krishna is. So we're like the wives of the Jaggi Brahmas. We say, I don't care what you say. I was going to do it anyway. Isn't it?
100%.
Okay. Which verse?
30.
Our husbands, fathers, sons, brothers, other relatives and friends will no longer take us back. And how could anyone else be willing to give us shelter? Therefore,
Since we have thrown ourselves at your lotus feet and have no desire, and have no other destination, please, O chastiser of the enemies, grant our desire. So they're praying to Krishna, please fulfill our desire. So this is called lobh. Rupa Goswami says, tatra lobhyam. There's only one price to become Krishna conscious. Lobh. Lobh means greed. If you're not greedy, you don't get anything. What are we greedy for? Pretty much Gulab Jamas. Pretty much. I mean, if you look at it, we're really intense on everything in this world. But when it comes to Krishna, we're like, yeah, we come to the temple, it's all nice, the food's good. You know, I like the artis, and yeah, it's all nice. And we're not greedy for it. So when you get greedy, that's when you get Krishna. They want Krishna. Nothing can stop them from getting to Krishna. So we have to develop that mood. The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied, rest assured that your husbands will not be inimical towards you, nor will your fathers, brothers, sons, and other relatives, or the general populace. I will personally advise them of the situation. Indeed, even the demigods will express their approval. So, Krishna, and this is remarkable actually, because they would have been rejected, but Krishna has purified the hearts of their husbands. So when they go back, their husbands completely change. And then the husbands begin to worship them, because they realize, we couldn't get to Krishna, but you just got to Krishna. Right? So the basic lesson is, if we just stick to it, eventually everyone will come around. When I joined the Hare Krishna movement, my family were completely averse. But now they're, you know, attracted. So if you just stick at it, everyone will gradually soften over time. For you to remain in my bodily association would certainly not please people in this world, nor would it be the best way for you to increase your love for me. Rather, you should fix your minds on me, and very soon you will achieve me. It is by hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating upon me, and chanting my names and glories that love for me develops, not by physical proximity. Therefore, please go back to your homes. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, thus instructed, the wives of the Brahmanas returned to the place of sacrifice. The Brahmanas did not find any fault with their wives, and together with them, they finished the sacrifice. One of the ladies had been forcibly kept back by her husband. When she heard the others describe the Supreme Lord Krishna, she embraced him within her heart and gave up her material body, the basis of bondage to material activity. Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fed the cowherd boys with that food of four varieties. Then the all-powerful Lord himself partook of the preparations. And this is a very interesting point, because Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says Krishna wasn't hungry, because he just turned all the wives of the Jaggi Brahmanas back, and he was just thinking of them. Now when you're thinking of someone that you love, because Krishna has prema for them, love for them. They've given everything to Krishna, and Krishna, they've stolen his heart. And now, so when you're thinking of someone that you love, or something about, you don't feel like eating. You know, you just not like that. But then the cowherd boys, Krishna said, take so much nice prasadi, just take everything. But then they won't eat if Krishna's not eating. So Krishna, his mind's over there, but he thinks, okay, so he starts taking as well, like that. So he's, you know, Krishna lives to satisfy his devotees. If they want that, Krishna reciprocates. If they want that, Krishna reciprocates. That's Krishna. Right? Interesting, because who is God? God is Krishna, right? You could say he is Atmaram. Atmaram means self-satisfied, but
there's no real happiness and self-satisfaction. You just go to, you know, the farm where I live and live there by yourself, right? And just, yeah, we'll give you a little house down the back, and again, don't see anyone, just be self-satisfied. You think, oh, that's great, it's peaceful. But you'll never be happy because you need reciprocation. So it's like, so I live down there, it's quite isolated, but I come up here to be with everyone here because then there's reciprocation, right? I'm serving the devotees by facilitating the course. Yeah? So then there's reciprocation. So Krishna's, he's a person. And because he's a person and he has personal attribute, he's not satisfied just with himself. Krishna is only satisfied when he's pleasing his devotees. That's what he lives for. So the cowherd boys want to eat, Krishna eats. And at the Jagi Brahmanas, you know, they're absorbed in him, he reciprocates. So that's his, right? And then who catches his mind the most? The gopis. And out of all of them, Radha, right? Because she's the most intense. And she's just focused on him. Just focused. So he's just captivated by her. So as you surrender, then he reciprocates. Okay, one more verse. Thus the Supreme Lord, appearing like a human being to perform his pastimes, imitated the ways of human society. He enjoyed pleasing his cows, cowherd boyfriends, and cowherd girlfriends with his beauty, words, and actions. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, in the Sanskrit it says, evam lila nara vapur. So once again, Krishna is predominated by lila shakti. Lila, as it says here in this verse. Lila means his pastime potency. His pastime potency just arranges all these lilas for him. Right? Come now with the cowherd boys. Right? Krishna just surrenders. Okay, that's where we're going. Let's go. And then the gopis, somehow they turn up. Right? Like I was reading today in Ananda Vrindavan Champu this morning. The first holy festival, right, in the spiritual world. So Krishna's going through the forest. Right? And then Madhu Mangala, he says, I can hear another group. They're all chanting and dancing, the cowherd boys. They're going to do holy. But then the gopis are already there and they're already having a kirtan. And then Mahārāja said, I can hear another group. And Krishna, because Krishna knows what's going on. So then he says, okay, let's go over there to that group. So they begin to head through the forest. And then Radharani, she knows he's coming. She breaks off from everyone else. Right? And then Madhu Mangala says, why are you being proud? Why are you not with everyone else? Why are you buying this up? And then like a whole leela. It's like Krishna is just like a puppet in one sense. Wherever the leela is taking him, then he just follows along and he just enjoys. So he is controlled by the love of his devotees. And wherever someone wants reciprocation, Krishna comes and reciprocates. Sri Krishna Chanda Bhagavan. Okay, tomorrow night we will finish this chapter. The fees for the course, everyone listen attentively just for 1 minute. I want the fees reconciled, everyone up to date by next week. Okay? It's a little out of control at the moment. I need to reconcile it. I have to send money upstairs so I can keep my job, basically. It's serious. It's not a muck around thing. I've got to arrange it, so I need everyone to reconcile it. So okay, so tomorrow we finish this chapter, and then next week, on Tuesday, we do the overview. Shila Prabhupada ki.